extent towards criminal matters. And the slide just gives you a feel of what each delivery system did during the financial year. Getting a more comparative, seeing a more comparative feel of the slides on page on slide 33, you'd see how it changed over the last few financial years. You'd notice that the total matters, there has been some steady increase from 421,000 to 447. Civil showed the biggest increase, as you can see, as a percentage of new matters from 7 to 13%, whereas criminal matters, very much the same over the last 4 years in terms of number, but in terms of percentage, there's a slight decrease because new civil matters were increasing. If we focus on criminal legal aid itself, there were 390,000 new matters for criminals. And if we look at our coverage of courts, this is actual practitioners serving courts, and noting that we have a practitioner per court model, 88% of the time the district court sits, we have a practitioner at court, and it's a lot higher in regional courts. We're almost there every day it sits, 99% at the moment. Whilst the High Court, any matter requiring legal aid, then we are obliged and we do provide representation. If you look at the distribution of matters by court type, this is the actual, our workload. Of the 390,000 matters, 84% were district matters, 15% regional courts, and 1% High Court matters. We also provide representation at the SEA for criminal appeals primarily. And in fact, legal aid matters constitute 71% of the role in the SEA for criminal matters. And we have a good success rate of 72% at the SEA. Slide 35 deals with matter differentiation. It gives a feel of the type of crimes that we provide representation for. And you find aggressive crimes, those constituting elements of violence, by and large the highest at 39%. Economic crimes, which deal with like fraud, forgery, etc., with no violence is associated, that's 32%. Narcotics quite high also, 12% sexual offences. Moving on to children, legal aid provided their representation to just under 17,000 matters to children. 69% of that was to children in conflict with the law, while 31% were children in civil matters. We also provided a limited extent representation at preliminary inquiry matters. This is primarily where we are specifically required to provide this assistance. We also track individually all children who are awaiting trial, and those that are in custody for over 1 month, it's monitored even at our national office, and at the end of the financial year there were 62 children awaiting trial over 1 year. Now the decrease in the number of new children matters in criminal matters was actually 41% year on year, and that shows that the efforts to get children out of the criminal justice system through alternate means such as diversion, etc., is bearing fruit, and which is actually the objective of the Child Justice Act. Children's matters in civil also showed a reduction year on year of 17%, and that's primarily because the backlog that was previously at the Master's Office have now been worked on, and we are taking matters as they are sent to us. There were 3,309 children's matters that specifically related to the state. Slide 37 shows you how the statistics for children have changed over the years, and you can see significant drops from 2009-10 to the last financial year, and the drop is primarily in the criminal sector, from 54 to 11,000. Civil showed a steady increase during this period. If we look at pending matters, Chairperson, there was a total of 183,000 pending matters at the financial year end, of which the bulk is in district courts, and there's a limited number in High Courts. We specifically look at the matters that exceed turnaround times. We have targets that we'd like these matters to be completed in, and you can see the targets are in the second last column. We'd like district court, for instance, to be, district court matters to be finalized within 6 months of us taking those matters. And you'd find we're doing well against the target for district court, but we're having some challenges at regional and high courts in particular. altogether 18% of our pending matters have exceeded the time that we have allocated to them. 579 deals with the criminal court role analysis. We undertook a major research chairperson during the last financial year. We studied the court roles of all criminal courts in the country, and that is every court role. And the objective was primarily to understand the demand for legal aid in different parts of the country, in different court seats in the country, so that we could then determine whether our alignment of practitioner capacity, which primarily is the practitioner profile model, is working well. The results of the study show that 70% of the trial cases in district courts are done by legal aid, whereas in the regional courts it increases to 76% and the high courts 87%. So those are quite significant numbers, and I further highlight the important role we play in ensuring that the courts operate smoothly. I'll pause there, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I'll take over. Patrick Hundermark, to deal with civil legal aid. If we move to slide 40, you will see that civil legal aid, as Brian has mentioned, constituted 13% of our work, which is just 57,183 matters, which was an increase of 3% from the last financial year, once again due to the fact that there was no increase in capacity, and we are at our maximum capacity in terms of the number of matters. Mediation has also been included in our civil delivery program as a manner to try and resolve disputes without having to resort to litigation. We also now have the pilot project on court-based mediation that will commence in the district courts as a pilot for Gauteng and North West with effect from 1st December, where we will also we'll test it from our perspective. The majority of civil matters, 56% of them, entailed assistance to women, which allowed us specifically to assist women in vulnerable situations as compared to the statistics for criminal representation. I'll then move us to the next slide, on slide 41. You'll see you have a specific breakdown, as you'll see 44% of the matters we're involved in is family-related matters, which would also include divorces, maintenance, domestic violence. Then children makes up 17%, which also then includes estate matters, as Brian mentioned earlier. Land matters are specifically related to evictions, is 14%, and then your general civil claims, 11%, and labour makes up about 5% of our workload in total. If we move to the next slide, on page slide 42. Impact litigation, and I'm sure the committee has seen our booklets that we produce every year. This, in the last financial year, we considered 50 matters, of which we approved 21 new matters for litigation or funding. We were also, with the carryover from the previous years, handled in total 40 impact matters, 8 of which were finalised in the 2013 financial year, in which we had 100% success rate. Through our impact unit, we obviously try and give content to the rights enshrined in our Bill of Rights and ensure that they are realised. And we try and litigate and fund cases that impact the lives of ordinary South Africans. Specifically, here we can mention the silicosis matter for the miners that we settled in that financial year, and where we are now continuing with the class action, having been able to deal with that matter. Then if we move to slide 43, advice. As you all know, we also provide assistance in not only litigation, but provide advice, which was provided in 328,979 matters. This was an increase of 10% over the previous financial year, as indicated by Brian. And the Justice Centres and Satellite Offices provided advice in about 243,548 of these matters, where clients walked into the 128 offices that we do have around the country. And then we also do have paralegals that attend at remand detention facilities, and where they provided advice to 29,808 remand detainees. Also, we have a call centre, which is a specifically dedicated national number, which provided advice in 55,623 matters, which was a 17% increase over the previous financial year, and about 12% of that entailed advice in criminal matters, which made up about 6,400. I'll move then to slide 44. This you will see is showing the advice matters per Justice Centre Satellite Office and the breakdown that we have to show you the total of 328,000, as well as how it has increased over the last 5 years. If we move to the next slide, or slide 48, we also have then legal outreach in civil matters. So in this round where we go, we linked to 167 community advice offices within each Justice Centre's coverage area. And we made 1,640 visits to provide backup legal services to clients at these advice offices. So where the advice office is not able to assist the client and they need litigation, we provide up the backup services. Also, we make sure that we link and interact with NGOs, CBOs and FBOs, and we hosted a total of 1,824 interactions to increase the awareness about our services and also to increase referrals of clients to our offices. We also conducted legal aid clinics at high volume traffic points in both urban and rural areas, where we consulted with 12,350 clients to address specific civil problems that they had. We also made general advice services available at community centres or civil courts serviced by each satellite offices, and we conducted 2,634 consultations at these community centres or courts. We can move to the next slide on slide 46. Specifically I know the committee has previously inquired about our marketing and our advertising, and as you can see here during the year we branded the following holding cells, about 300 at prisons, 800 police cells and at reception areas, and about 700 holding cells at the courts were branded in that financial year. And then specifically our marketing and advertising, we had over 40 print adverts on national, regional and community newspapers. We aired about 140 adverts on SABC 1, 2 and ETV, and then we had over 200 radio slots as part of a national radio campaign on all SABC African language stations. If we move to slide then 47. Once again, also I think our interaction with stakeholders is critical from our perspective, and so we try and maintain and build stakeholder relationships as part of our strategy. In the reporting period, we consulted and participated in different events. Specifically, we held over 600 community outreach programs. We have over 100 partnerships we arrange at local and provincial level as part of our annual joint ventures with NGOs, CBOs and human rights organizations. And then specifically in terms of engagements with stakeholders, we've held about 200 roundtable discussions with legal stakeholders, which include case backlog management clusters and the legal professional bodies. And then slide 48, in terms of our quality and our quality programs, obviously one of the key issues has always been the issue of quality, and that remains one of our highest priorities, to keep the highest standards from quality. We engage our practitioners in continuous learning through training programs. So we have face-to-face training, e-learning and self-learning modules. For this financial year under review, we met all of our training targets. We also have a single consolidated knowledge repository, which includes electronic legal libraries, legal newsletters, research papers, and our standard operating procedures, which are then available to all practitioners. We've also now linking to that each of our practitioners over the next period will each have their own laptops so that they can take that with them. Our legal quality assurance program remains relevant, and we adapt to changes within the business and legal environment, and we also constantly reviewed our quality assessment instruments to ensure the manner in which we assess the files keeps track and trend with any new case law that happens in terms of quality of legal services. And specifically, I have the year under review, and you'll see from the next slide, our practitioners achieve their quality targets and file assessments, as well as court observations, their quality targets. That then deals with the quality targets that we set. And then the scoring on average for the file and court observation of our practitioners as well as the quality of advice for our paralegals, you will see from the last column 97% of the candidate attorneys meet the quality standards, and from the admitted attorneys 95% meet the quality standards. So there are those that aren't meeting it, but that we place systems in place to be able to monitor and improve the quality of their services. Thank you.
Chairperson, I'll continue with slide 50. We are specifically asked to report also on our AFIA delivery for the current financial year. You'll notice in slide 51, where we look at the new matters for both criminal and civil, we are very much at 50% of the previous financial year, 87% and 13% criminal and civil respectively, which shows very similar trends. So we're not projecting any growth during the next for this current financial year. If we look at slide 52, this is separating it based on our delivery system. So you see the bulk of criminal matters is still done by criminal and civil matters still done by our justice centres. The split again, as you can see, in the total column 87 and 13% between criminal and civil. Impact matters, we assessed 20 so far, 10 new matters were taken on. We finalized 4 and 3 of them were successful during the current financial year. Matters involving children, again a very similar trend to the last financial year. The decrease in criminal stats seems to be slowing down. We're very much halfway of what we were in the previous financial year, and similarly showing a slight decrease if we project going forward. Moving on to pending matters, overall there's a decrease from where we were last year. It was over 180,000, we're now 172,000, but the matters that exceed the turnaround times increased from 18% to 19%. We still are well within our targets for district courts, but challenges, we 1% over our target for regional and a few percentage for high court. Suppose we still within our target range. Moving on to general advice, Chairperson, you'd note that again very much halfway to where we were previously. So at the moment we have 165,000 general advice matters given in 6 months. You'll notice the call center is showing a drop. If we project, we're not going to be close to 50,000. We think that in the second half of the year, it will improve. The call center very much depends on continuous advertising and marketing. And our marketing program was, because of limited constraints, was more geared towards the second half of the financial year. So we hope that it will still go to over 50,000. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I'll just present briefly on the financial performance of Legal Aid South Africa. Overall, 2013-14 was a good year when it comes to financial performance. We had sound financial management and good governance practice, which was strengthened from where it was previously. We also continued to strengthen the financial management and internal controls backed by strong financial and non-financial risk management. We reviewed our policies and procedures to be aligned with best practice in the industry, and we achieved targets and delivered on the business plan within the budget constraints. This was mainly due to prudent and effective cost management measures that were implemented. Supply chain management policies and procedures were reviewed and aligned to applicable legislation, National Treasury regulations and practice notes. We also had effective and functional bid evaluation, bid adjudication and bid specification committees in place. Policies were also reviewed to be in line with the changes that were implemented, to be in line with changes from the instruction note 1 of 2013-14 on cost containment measures. When it comes to the Auditor General's report for 2013-14, as previously mentioned, Legal Aid SA received another unqualified audit report from the AG's office. The AG expressed its audit opinion. There were no methods of emphasis. And the main source of revenue is the government grant, more than 90% of its revenue coming from that grant. For 2013-14, it was 1.3 billion. This was an increase of about 9% from the previous year. The increase was mainly due to additional funding received for the implementation of legislation for vulnerable groups. 2013-14, again, we implemented the budget and spent and committed 99.2% of the budget. For 2014-15, this is the current year that we are in. The budget was 1.4 billion, which was an increase of about 6.56% from the previous year. Again, that slight increase above 6% was mainly due to new funding awarded for the implementation of legislation for vulnerable groups. The budget for 2014-15 was 1.5 billion, which is made up of a government grant of 1.4 billion plus about 17 million for investment income. This is interest from that is raised from funds invested with the CPD. Of that 1.5 billion, 46%, which equates to about 700 million, was spent and committed as at end of September, 6 months into the financial year. Previously indicated, the 4% underspend is mainly because the budget is not spent evenly throughout the year. During this 6 months under review, we also made a request to National Treasury through DOJ, requesting for new funding. This we'll cover later in the presentation. At the time of preparing the presentation, the budget cuts were not yet known to Legal Aid SA. But last week we were then informed about those budget cuts referred to earlier on, 62 million for 2015-16 and 92 million for financial year 16-17. We're still engaging National Treasury on these budget cuts because they have a view that these budget cuts should be effected because Legal Aid SA has cash reserves of about 386 million, which in fact is not the case because this 386 million is committed and is set aside to settle its liabilities, the creditors, as and when they become due. In terms of scrap 25, we're required to make sure that we have these funds set aside to ensure that we both going concern and we are both solvent and liquid. Any budget cuts will result in us becoming technically insolvent and we should be to the detriment of Legal Aid South Africa. It will take us back to the situation where we are in the late 1990s, and I'm sure it would not be in the interest of the community that we serve. Coming to expenditure for 2013-14, indicated earlier on, overall we spent more than 99% of the budget. The under expenditure on capital was about 12%. These funds were rolled over, the bulk of it related to the new system that we're developing. The tender was awarded at the end in Q4 of 2013-14, and this fund had to be rolled over because the project is still underway as we speak. Coming to financial performance, total assets legal aid of Legal Aid SA moved from 483 million in 2012-13 to 554 million in 2013-14, an increase of about 12%. Main increase being in the non-current assets of our property, plant and equipment, that's motor vehicles, computer hardware, and leasehold. Then under current assets, that increase was also on the cash and cash equivalent, as indicated that cash is committed because you see the corresponding increase in the liabilities. As we increase those liabilities, it will also have a corresponding increase on the assets. Thank you. on to the statement of financial performance. Okay, as at year end of 2014, we had that 44 million. Okay, this is mainly due to the fact that capital expenditure is accounted for under the statement of financial position. So the surplus does not include the purchases of CAPEX, and it also includes depreciation, which is a non-cash flow item. The statement of cash flow statement just show the movement of cash in terms of operations. This is where the remaining cash after running operations for the year under review. Then the net cash flow from investing activities indicates all the acquisition or the purchases of CAPEX. Then at the end of the financial year, then we moved from a cash and cash equivalent of 342 in 2014 to 386. Again, that increase correlates with the increase in the liabilities. The statement of comparison of budget and actual expenditure. It indicates again that 69 million, okay, take into account the non-cash flow items of the depreciation. For completeness, we also included the recommendations of the committee on the budget review. Okay, last year, this time, the committee recommended that Legal Aid SA be provided with additional funding of 348 million, which is 1.7 million, to improve its practitioner capacity ratio and also to increase its civil work. You have noted that for civil work, we had quite a lower percentage looking at the overall performance. The committee also recommended that 92.6 million be allocated to Legal Aid SA over the MTF period. This is now to expand the national footprint to increase with any justice centers or satellite offices, and also 15.3 million for the upgrade of its IT infrastructure, and 22 million to improve the administrative support capacity. The committee also noted the judgment of the North Gauteng High Court regarding the Marikana matter that ordered us to provide, at that time we estimated about 17 million for the Commission of Inquiry, and the committee supported or recommended that additional funding be provided to the Great SA for this commission. The committee noted the decline in the number of matters in criminal matters. Just reporting briefly on the implementation of the recommendations of the committee. Legal Aid SA received about 5 million for increase of legal capacity. Of this 5 million, we then utilized 3.1 million to convert existing PA posts to 9 district court PAs. Okay, and then we also utilized 1.9 million to increase the civil production and supervisory capacity. Okay, we were also allocated 1.5 million from the IJS to improve or upgrade our system. So these were the in total about 6.5 million has been allocated to Legal Aid South Africa. Thank you, Chair.
My name is Chairperson and the Community Manager. I'm going to take from the 569. Just as a point of reference, concerning our staff constant, we have a relatively stable environment in terms of recruitment. We have targeted more than 6% of the recruitment level. And as to the end of 2013-14, we're able to achieve a 96% level. Tied up to that, our turnover rate in terms of staff has been at 6%, and in this regard, we're focusing much more on permanent positions because we have an element of people on contract in relation to, in particular, our as an organization, we have an employment for that very matter, the emphasis that arises with it is much more about how we showcase our professionalism as an organization, and also how we then emphasize the essence of our organizational culture, such that whoever wants to make a choice of joining us would understand that they are coming in as a business partner to make our system work, in particular on focus on providing access to justice to the poor and vulnerable. In that regard, our staff continue to be trained, and we have in this financial year 2013-14 able to meet our targets in relation to training and development, and as a measure, of course, of building our talent of our staff. We have introduced an electronic lead system in the last financial year. The importance of it is because we are a geographically spread organization, and we wanted to make sure that we have effective measures of accounting for our staff attendance, at the same time making sure that productivity in our justice centers, regional offices, and national offices is in par with what we see on paper. We are also focusing on our leadership development program, and in this past financial year, we continue to as such, encouraging and assisting our managers in the role of our business team to find measures of effective leadership so that we are able to motivate ourselves and also make sure that their competence in terms of management is humanistic in nature, and also encourage innovation and creativity among ourselves. One aspect which has become important for us is that our managers be also risk aware. Risk intelligence is important for us in FI, making sure that we save costs, we are productive, and we are focused. In this regard, we are also continue to benchmark ourselves in terms of our performances. And for this past financial year, on human resource practices, we also were accredited as one of the best employers for the fifth consecutive year. And in that, we can, as we have shown on the presentation, that our culture statement emphasizes the point that we are proudly legal in South Africa, and we are focusing on championing the legal rights of the legal rights, and also serving our clients with integrity and confidence. We continue to state our pay statement there in terms of we are the voice for justice. Our leadership statement emphasizes integrity, we inspire excellence, and we promote a value-based system which is rightly trying to promote. In outlining our employment equity for 2013-14, in the overall we have not, as we have seen in the pipeline, we do not have much more of a change in terms of new bodies. And in this regard, the picture that you have there shows that in as far as the area where we are still lacking is much more around our staff profile on Africans, is at a 4.9% lower than Africans. On people with disability, we are lower at 0.3%. On senior management, we are not really doing good on the areas of Africa. We are at a low level at 16.3%. And generally on blacks, we are lower than target at 9.6%. And women, we are lower than 9.9%. On the IT system, for the previous financial year, we have been trying to steer up our current system that has, we have been utilizing over 10 years at Infinitum Legal Administration Application. Notwithstanding challenges, we have tried to create it to be able to perform so that FTC becomes a supportive system. In that, it has been available for over 98% for the past period. have been able to manage challenges that always arise in ISIS, and among them being able to successfully do a disaster recovery testing without any hiccups. And on the other side, we continue to focus on utilizing our IT system for business intelligence, which provides us information for decision making on the legal, finance, and mineral organizations. On internal audit side, our internal audit department provides a certain level of assurance, which is much more adequate than effectiveness that controls the person. And for the 2013-14 financial year, we were able to cover 97% of the planned audit in line with our audit coverage plan. In the overall, effectively, we had a coverage of our audit of 105%, and in that we are factoring 9 additional reviews that we done on the bid adjudication committee and bid evaluation areas. In the internal audit department, we also have a component that is focusing on legal quality assurance. And in that, this unit is an independent and objective unit that oversees audit the quality of legal practice, including both civil and criminal rights. For that very matter, we need to indicate that we have not as yet, for this past financial year, effected auditing of judicare practitioners. However, in the overall, we had an external independent review of our internal audit department, which confirmed that our internal audit department is generally conforming to the history of internal audit international standards for the practice of professional internal audit. Next slide. On the side of board, our board continues to be effective. They provide leadership. They guide and oversight of the organization. They take care of the oversight principles and standards that are required. In that, among them, we have a board charter that defines the rules and responsibilities of our board. And our board has been able to cover oversight in relation to PFMA and PFMA principles. And also our board continued to hold meetings as planned for the year. And at the end of March 2014, we had 50 members with 18 positions of the board filled. As a committee has been engaged with our legal aid bill, we appreciate your support, and we look forward to the new bill for the government will ultimately become finalized in terms of progress. That brings me to the end. Thank
you. Chair, I will take over from here. I think, just go to the next slide. Yeah. I think we just wanted to deal with the main function of the board, which is the strategic thinking of the organization. The 2013-2014 financial year was the second year of our legal strategic plan that we crafted, that started in 2012. And we met our business plan targets as set out in that strategic plan. And as we say in the slide, these were all largely achieved. And the strategy is to enhance and expand our new forms of legal aid access, and this continued through criminal and civil legal aid delivery programs. We also expanded through the development of self-help legal aid packages, which were to provide to be provided on our website to increase our reach to more clients. Pro bono agreements were also entered with all provincial law societies, which is to position us to link with a lot more clients. And this will also enhance our increase in civil legal aid capacity. And I think you've heard from the presentation that our civil legal aid outreach has grown. And we have increased our civil legal aid matters by 50% in the past 3 years. And many other legal aid developer programs have been initiated, as you've seen in the earlier slide, Chair. Now, as mentioned earlier, Chair, I'm going to now deal with the challenges that we as an organization face. And if you look at slide, I think it's 79 or 78, one of our biggest challenges is the number of practitioners that we have per court, which impact on the caseloads and relief capacity that we have. You would have noticed that our growth in terms of the numbers that we've finalized has not grown a lot, simply because our capacity has not increased. This is where the number of practitioners that we have come into play. We also have, as a challenge, a small number of practitioners, as you've seen when the legal quality assurance was presented, that are not meeting their quality targets, but we are putting support and development programs around them to ensure that we also encourage them to meet their quality scores. The pending legal matters at the year end were quite high, 183%. I think you've heard when Brian made his presentation about which ones, in which courts we are lagging behind. These backlogs arise due to a number of reasons, and I think you heard that we did a research into all the court rolls and what caused roll collapses, and a number of reasons emanated there, but chief of them, Chair, you will have seen in the presentations, is the unavailability of judicial officers. This is a topic for a different discussion on another day, but it is reality, and I can confirm it as head of court that it's a real problem where judicial officers are not available, and as a result, the roles collapse. We also dealt with the issue of unfunded mandates, which is a challenge to us. We mentioned the number, the figure 17 million, and I think the CFO should have mentioned that that number has now grown to about 25 million because that commission's mandate has been extended till the end of the year. The economic recession continues to be a problem. You've heard, Chair, that there's 62 million mooted for the 2015-2016 financial year, and the 93 million budget cut for the 2016-2017 financial year. Those will present serious problems if they are affected, as I've mentioned. Our IT platform, we've come to recognize that it had been slow, and we are now introducing a new platform to ensure that it meets the demand of the work that goes through our system. So, in terms of the funding challenges, if you look at the next slide, Chair, increasing our capacity, we need to increase it to be able to meet the demand that comes to us. The biggest problem that has been mentioned and in the stakeholder engagements that we've had, it always comes up every year, is the lack of the relief capacity that we have, especially in the regional courts, because our courts are not able to function if our legal aid practitioners are not available either due to sickness or attending to training. And you'd have heard the figures that Brian mentioned, that we cover about 87% nationally of all the courts of South Africa. So it is understandable that if any of our lawyers are not at court, then it would give rise to a problem. These don't occur all the time, but we requested an amount of 65 million to increase our capacity to provide for relief capacity. In terms of the provision for new magistrate posts, I mentioned earlier that new courts are being opened once magistrates are opened. But these courts will not be able to function if we do not have legal practitioners covering those courts. And
Our information is that 72 new magistrates' posts are going to be filled, and we require an amount of 34 million to make sure that we appoint practitioners to cover these costs. National Treasury is considering our request, but if I'm not mistaken, we've been told that we may get the 18 million, which will give us about 42 posts, that is 26 for the district court and 16 for the regional court. Now we need to increase our civil capacity, Chair, because our civil capacity is still very low compared to our criminal capacity. We are not meeting the civil legal aid need that we see in the community. And we realize this when we go on our outreach programs. Our interaction with the community-based advice centers tells us that we need a lot more capacity to meet the civil legal aid demand. We need 18 PAs as well as 13 SPAs, that the supervisory PAs, and we need 16 million to make sure that we cover this, as well as the other challenge, Chair, is relating to the staff salaries performance progression increase. The PPI funds that are not included in our salaries allocation is about 1.5% of our salaries bill, and that amounts to 17 million. We've got to find that money somewhere because it's not on our baseline, Chair. I'm not going to deal with the summary of our performance because I think it has been adequately dealt with by those who presented from our legal aid delivery. The matters we've dealt with our national footprint, as well as our financial management and people development. Our plans for the next year, Chair, is to continue to stick to our core business as Legal Aid South Africa. And that we provide delivery in legal aid and legal advice matters to poor and vulnerable groups in South Africa. We also need to make sure that we improve our quality assurance and our quality of the services that we provide. We will continue focusing strongly on this aspect. We want to continue focusing on strong financial management and people development, because we have a lot of people that provide services in-house, and we need to be very strong on people development issues. Our challenges with the IT platform should be addressed, I think, in this financial year, as we focus to it, and as a board, we get constant reports about how we're doing on that front to make sure that our IT platform continues to support our legal aid delivery system. In terms of the National Development Plan, we are firmly focused on what it says in terms of building safer communities, and we think as Legal Aid South Africa, we are on board to make sure that we fulfill that that objective. Our development of Strategic Plan 2015 to 2020, we've done that to align with the new government that's come in, as well as to align with the National Development Plan, as I've mentioned, Chair. I think that concludes our overall presentation, Chair, and once more we thank the committee to allow us the opportunity to come and present, and we will take questions and clarify issues. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Judge President, and to thank all members for the presentation. Can we take a 5 minutes comfort break and then come back for questions and comments? There's tea at the back.